Hey, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Hey, a lot of you have been very kind. You've been praying for me as I've been struggling with mono for the last couple months. Thank you for your prayers. I'm feeling much, much better. At the last sermon, I realized I was still a little woozy, still a little wobbly. So if I sit down, don't worry. I'm just getting my feet underneath me. Today, we're beginning a new preaching series on the Sermon on the Mount called The Good Life. And Jesus teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount that a life truly worth living does not depend on worldly stuff like money and fame and power and anything else you can imagine. Jesus redefines the meaning of life as participating in the kingdom of heaven, okay? Jesus redefines the meaning of life as participating in the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? Well, we're going to figure that out over the next couple weeks. As we shall see in today's story, Jesus makes it clear, you don't need a picture-perfect life to participate in God's kingdom. In fact, in today's story, Jesus is going to make a very special invitation to the least likely people to participate in his Father's kingdom. So we start this morning with the Beatitudes. That's a Latin word. It means blessing. And these blessings are key to understanding the Sermon on the Mount, the entire Sermon on the Mount. Today, Jesus is going to bless the poor and the mourning and the powerless and the unsatisfied and the merciful and the pure and the peacemakers and the persecuted and the ridiculed. Put it another way, Jesus is going to bless the helpless, the helpers, and the harassed. Hear the good news, that Jesus is flipping the world upside down right now and for all eternity in the kingdom of heaven. From Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, and he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and say falsely all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." God's word. So the word blessed shows up 335 times in the Bible. The number is actually 674 if you count blessing and bless and all the other variations of the word. Now, when God blesses human beings, it means divine favor, grace, which is one of our favorite words, and well-being. When humans bless God, which is what we were doing just a moment ago in worship, it means adoration, it means praise, it means singing to God, right? We are blessing God in our worship. And when humans bless each other, it means that we are honoring someone, we're passing on wealth, we're praying for someone. It's not just for sneezing anymore. You bless people when you do something good for them. The word blessed is a profoundly biblical idea, but it's losing all meaning in English today. I had to explain this to the older members of the congregation in my first sermon. The title of the sermon today is hashtag blessed. And they kept on saying, what is hashtag blessed? What is that, Pastor Ryan? It's like, okay, that's a Twitter thing, okay? So if the pound symbol is before blessed, if you Google hashtag blessed, you're going to find all sorts of crazy stuff that doesn't sound anything like the blessings that you find in the Bible. So I did that this week. I spent a little bit of time on Twitter for the first time in a long, long while, and I discovered a few tweets that don't sound like what Jesus means, what the Bible means by blessed. A student posted on Twitter, "I got accepted into graduate school today with scholarships. It literally made my month. Hashtag blessed." Sometimes we use that word to cover our bragging with a thin veneer of humility so people might think better of us. And then another person put it this way, trying to explain his good fortune by vaguely pointing to God. He was on the subway and he found a grocery bag with two unopened beers in it. And he decided to tweet about it. He said, "Ah, random bag left next to your seat on the tube. Hashtag blessed." Really? Really? I don't know. Maybe. Call me skeptical. Call me skeptical. And then there are the comments that simply hurt your brain. A woman recently tweeted, "On this day, a queen was born. Happy birthday to me. Hashtag blessed." That's not what Jesus meant when he used the word blessed. Jesus begins the Sermon on the Mount with 9 beatitudes, 9 blessings on the most unexpected people. And the Gospel of Matthew uses a Greek word, makarioi, which means blessed or congratulations or even happy. There was a preacher a number of years ago who did a sermon on this series called the Be Happy Attitudes. That's a little too pithy for me. I can't get into that. But he's not completely wrong because the word is rooted in happy. Most of your English Bibles are going to say blessed for a reason. It just sounds really weird in the English language to say congratulations to the poor, or even worse, happy are those who mourn. It doesn't sound right. So blessed probably is the right word. These first 4 beatitudes, though, point number one in the sermon today is that blessed are the helpless. We've all heard the proverb before, right? That God helps those that help themselves. Anyone know where that is in the Bible? Trick question. It's not in the Bible. It's in the Quran, but it's not in the Bible. It was Benjamin Franklin that popularized that idea in America, but he was also a big fan of daylight savings, so we're not fans of Benjamin Franklin right today. We're just not. Jesus, in the first 4 Beatitudes, is contradicting this idea that God helps those that help themselves. In fact, these first 4 Beatitudes are saying the exact opposite. He's saying God helps those who cannot help themselves, the poor, the brokenhearted, the powerless, and the unsatisfied. These first 4 Beatitudes, this is important. This is important. These are not virtues that you need to achieve. The first 4 Beatitudes are struggles that God will redeem, not just in heaven someday, but even now, God is at work at redeeming these struggles in your lives right now. Okay? All right. Number 1, Jesus starts with the poor. Matthew's gospel says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Luke's gospel says, "Blessed are the poor." Who's right? They're both right. They're both quoting Jesus, okay? And they both mean the same thing. They're both quoting the same Jesus. Matthew focuses on the spiritual side of poverty. Luke focuses on the material, the financial side of poverty. But it's the same thing. They're pointing at people who are so poor, they are out of control of their circumstances. Now, when Jesus was preaching on the mountain to his original audience, these are people who had no money And these are people who had no social mobility. Jesus here is not talking about rich people who are generous, give things away, and live beneath their means. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about prodigal sons who always have the safety net of their daddy's house to go back to. Jesus is talking about the poorest of the poor and saying, yes, them. Those are the ones that are blessed in the kingdom of heaven. And not just in heaven. It does look towards heaven. But even now, that the kingdom of God means that people are going to run or walk a 6K in Mount Vernon, Washington, for people who are desperate to drink water in Africa. That happens today because the kingdom of God is among you. And hungry people at Friendship House are going to be fed today because someone decided that they want to sacrifice their time, their money, their effort, their talent to feed people. The poor are blessed. Yes, their suffering will be redeemed eternally. But even now, when people participate in the kingdom of God. Second point that Jesus makes, second beatitude, is Jesus blesses the brokenhearted, the mourning. This one's a little closer to home, right? Jesus is saying, if you have ever lost someone you love, a mother, a father, a wife, a husband, a child, that there's comfort waiting for you eternally and even right now. The point is, knowing that you're going to be reunited with the one that you love should provide hope for you in the present moment. When you know you get to see mom again, when you know you get to see dad again, when you know you get to see your child again. It gives you hope in the present moment, and it will be redeemed by God one day. You are helpless when you are mourning, right? There's nothing you can do to bring those who are gone back. Jesus can. That's part of the kingdom of God too. Third, Jesus blesses the meek. Now, we think of meek as another word for gentle or humble, and that's a good thing. I mean, the Bible talks about humility all the time. Great virtue. Go do it. Go be humble. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. When he uses the word meek, he's talking about those who are powerless, people who have no control over their circumstances. Again, this is not a virtue he's trying to get you to fall into. He's saying, if you are powerless, your situation is going to be redeemed in the kingdom of God. Now, when Superman puts on his glasses and he puts on his tie, no, thank you, I appreciate that, and he becomes mild-mannered Clark Kent, right? Is he meek? No. He still has all his power. He's just hiding it. Jesus is talking about the powerless. You know, you're powered too. Compared to the people that Jesus was originally talking to, you have all manner of superpowers. Some of you have the power to vote, something they couldn't have imagined on that mountain that day. Some of you have the power to drive, driver's licenses. I see 16-year-olds in the congregation who have a little piece of plastic in their possession that empowers them. Something unimaginable by Jesus' original audience. If you have ever been to McDonald's and ordered your own food, you have been empowered to make choices that would have boggled the mind of this original audience. We are people who have been empowered. Jesus is saying in the kingdom of God, those who've never had power will get the earth. Wow. Finally, Jesus blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, these are not hardworking success stories who earn their salvation through hard work. No. Jesus is talking about sob stories who have been denied justice in this world. Jesus promises vindication in this world and the next, to the victims of hunger, to the victims of thirst, to the victims of unrighteousness. Now, the first four Beatitudes are offering grace to the neediest people on earth. Hear that again. The first four Beatitudes are about grace. No one earned it. No one deserves it. These are the people that were despised in their culture. But Jesus says these are exactly the kind of people that are going to be blessed in my Father's kingdom as it comes to reality in this world. The Sermon on the Mount starts as a consolation for everyone who ever felt left out, everyone who ever felt despised, everyone who felt like they had no place in this world. Jesus says, you are the ones. I want you in my kingdom. Now, it is certainly virtuous to be generous, compassionate, humble, righteous. The Bible teaches all those things, but that's not what Jesus is teaching here. Jesus is offering redemption to the poor, the mourning, the powerless, and the victimized here. If you have ever looked at the world and despaired because there's not enough justice, this is a message that should mean something to you. God's going to do something about how this world is all bent and broken. God's going to put it right. Okay, second point, blessed are the helpers. Now, every time there is a national tragedy, we tend to look to one of our favorite, most trusted neighbors to drop some wisdom on us in that time of tragedy. And of course, I'm talking about my childhood hero, maybe yours, Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers, when he was still just a boy, when he was still just Fred Rogers, his mother taught him that during scary moments, she said, always look for the, anyone? Helpers. Always look for the helpers. There's always someone trying to help, she said. And Mr. Rogers explains, I came to see that the world is full of doctors and nurses, police and firemen, volunteers, neighbors and friends who are ready to jump in when things go wrong. Now, Mr. Rogers, he always found the right word to speak to children, right? Always. But some of us have grown up, right? And it's not just our task any longer to look for the helpers. Mr. Rogers said those words to us so we might grow up and be the helpers. The comfort that we give to a child is not the same message as the expectation on us. We were taught, anyone in my generation, a little older, a little younger, to become the helpers. And the next three Beatitudes, Jesus celebrates those who choose to be the helpers. Now, Jesus begins by blessing the merciful. Mercy is closely related to forgiveness. But here, mercy means do no harm. Jesus is saying do no harm. Jesus is celebrating all the people who've given up any right for revenge. Jesus is celebrating people who've decided that their honor is not as important as being kind. The merciful do not gloat when others fail. The merciful are not easily offended. Those who offer God's mercy will receive God's mercy. Now, it's kind of funny. This is the only one of the Beatitudes where the blessing is the same thing as what you receive at the end, mercy. Then Jesus blesses the pure in heart. Outward behavior is important, but inward motivation is just as important to Jesus. Later in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is going to scold all the religious people for doing the right things for all the wrong reasons. It is not enough to look good. It has to be good. You need a pure heart if you want to see God. Third, Jesus concludes the section by blessing the peacemakers. Peace is a weird word in the English language, different from what Jesus was communicating on that mountain in Galilee. Peace can be really, really tiny. like the tranquility we feel when we have everything we want, we have everything we need. That's too tiny of a word, peace. And peace can be truly massive, right? Like all the nations of the world getting rid of all their weapons, and we have no more war ever in the history of the world. Kind of a massive idea, huh? Jesus is talking about a Hebrew idea of shalom, which means wholeness, which means the world is the way it's supposed to be. And there's a great translation or a great definition for shalom in Psalm 85:10, where it says, love, faithfulness meet together, righteousness and peace kiss each other. Sorry, I've got mono. I shouldn't kiss at you. Righteousness and peace. Some translations say embrace, but I like this word kiss. If you are a peacemaker, you are working for both peace and righteousness in the world. Look, folks, God is going to save the world with his mercy, but in the meantime, he's saying, you can be merciful. In the end, God is going to save the world with his love, but in the meantime, Jesus is saying, you can help out by being pure of heart. One day, God is going to save the world with his peace. But in the meantime, Jesus is saying, you can be a peacemaker. It's not up to you to save the world. God did that already. But you can be a helper. The world has been saved, and it is being saved in the kingdom of God. But you can be a helper. One more quote from Mr. Rogers. Sorry, I love Mr. Rogers. One more quote. He says, if you look to the helpers, you know there is hope. Amen. The Reverend Dr. Mr. Rogers. Third and final point today, and that is blessed are the harassed. By the way, thank you for your patience. This is big. The Beatitudes are big, and it takes some work to get them. So thank you for your patience with them. But third point is blessed are the harassed. Christianity Today reports that in 2018, that 215 million Christians around the globe were persecuted. The Vatican reports that 100,000 Christians died for their faith last year. 100,000. The BBC reports that Christians were harassed in 145 different countries, more than any other faith group in the world. Across the globe, our sisters and our brothers are being tormented for their faith. These are the people that Jesus is talking about when he said, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus was preaching to a congregation on that mount. People who were kicked out of the synagogues, people who were kicked out of their families because they followed Jesus. He was preaching to his own disciples, most of whom died for their faith. And Jesus was speaking prophetically to all the Christians throughout history across the globe who have been tortured and killed for their faith. These words should humble the rest of us. Let us be cautious. Let's be real cautious about having a persecution complex and trying to apply these words to us when they have been bought by other people's blood throughout history and all over the globe, even today, okay? Can we be careful with this one? Can we be careful with the eighth beatitude, please? However, the last beatitude is closer to home. Jesus said, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Many Christians feel insulted or falsely accused because of their faith. The solution is not to strike back at the people who hurt us. Remember, Jesus has already blessed the merciful and the pure in heart and the peacemakers. And later in the sermon, Jesus is going to say those terribly uncomfortable words, turn the other cheek. Jesus invites you to rejoice and be glad when we feel picked on for our faith, because the kingdom of heaven is the only reward we will ever need. It's kind of funny. On all eight of the Beatitudes, blessed are those, blessed are those, blessed are those. On the ninth one, blessed are you. Blessed are you when people insult you. Blessed are you when people say terrible things about you. Interesting change of language by Jesus there. Now, the Beatitudes offer good news to everyone who believes. Some of these blessings, they really do fit your life. Some of these blessings, frankly, belong to other people. That's okay. The Beatitudes are not a spiritual checklist that you have to notch off in order to get to heaven. Bingo, I got all the Beatitudes. I get to go to heaven. No, that's not what it is. The Beatitudes are a promise that Jesus can bless anyone, even the most unlikely person in the world. Jesus can bless anyone. And if you're listening to the Beatitudes and going, wow, where do I fit into this? This doesn't sound good. Just remember, there are a lot of blessings in the Gospels. Jesus blesses all the children. Jesus blesses those who take no offense at him. Anyone feel like that? Take no offense at Jesus? Anyone? Seriously, who's offended by Jesus? Come on. You take no offense at Jesus? Thank you. Those who hear God's word and obey it. Okay, that's a little harder to raise your hand on, but, you know, aspirationally. Those who have not seen Jesus and yet believe. All these people are blessing. Look, Jesus will bless anyone he wants, and he wants to bless the whole wide world, including you. Okay? There's plenty of blessing waiting for you. But in this moment, in this sermon, Jesus is saying, blessed are the least likely, because he represents the grace of God. And that should encourage all of us, because all of us, one time or another, is the least likely. The Beatitudes teach us that Jesus had divine authority to bless whoever he wants. The helpless are going to be redeemed for their trouble. The helpers are going to be celebrated for their kindness. The harassed are going to be redeemed for their pain. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you will experience blessings, wonderful, great, eye-opening, and marvelous. Jesus will be faithful to bless you as you need.